So this is a pretty good revelation for us as we're walking these things out and growing and changing. God doesn't see you as a sinner because there's still things in your heart that aren't right. He sees you as a sinner when he reveals things in your heart that aren't right and you refuse to be teachable. That's good. That's really good. So the key is to just stay in his will and let him teach and let him comfort and let him change. So if you get your focus on going after your sin instead of going after Jesus, you will actually lose the grace to get free from the sin and yet come into a lot of torment recognizing you're a sinner, because Satan will know if they see their sin that I get to torment them because they'll recognize they're sinners. But if Jesus reveals the sin and then we see the sin and we repent of the sin, then he cleanses of that sin and Satan doesn't get in there. Do you get that? That's really good, you guys. That's another spiritual law. And the reason I say that is before I saw some of this guilt stuff and before I saw this griping stuff, even though it didn't please God, I was blind to it. And so I was still in God's will. Wow, that is good. This explains. You ask God a question and he just gives you the answer right in the scriptures. Isn't that cool? Do you get that? That's because he knows this is a process that the Holy Spirit's going to be working in them. That's why he was sent to sanctify them, set them apart, and make them holy. So don't get your focus on your sin. And don't think the answer is getting all the sin put under the blood of Christ, as if you can do that without the leading of the Holy Spirit. Get your eyes on Jesus. This is where people have gotten off track. This is where inner healing, I can't imagine, inner healing deliverance or healing the broken places where the flesh is involved or the carnal mind is involved or laws are involved. I could just see all this stuff coming up to the surface without the grace of God to do anything and the devil having a heyday making a bunch of Christians think they're totally messed up. I know as we've done some of this, we've probably been borderline that, and God's always pulled me back around and said, wait a minute, keep the focus on me. But do you understand this? As he reveals that to you, which is another reason not to judge everyone else. Don't judge everyone else. Just encourage them to go after God. Just encourage them to keep their eyes on God. This is really good about not putting guilt on your kids or your spouse or people you meet. Do not operate in the area of guilt. If you constantly put guilt on yourself, if you try to motivate yourself by guilt, Satan is in charge because there's still that fear of punishment operating. But if you just get your eyes on Jesus and let him take care of all this mess, you're just going to move into a pure heart, clean hands, God in charge, and the authority and the power to glorify God. But our heart, all he asks us to do is hunger after righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything's going to happen for you. Everything will come into play. Now, this ought to really be helping some of you. Because I know some of you, your focus has been so much on your sin and getting free and getting delivered that you don't understand you've actually opened the door for more torment. But if you would begin to get your eyes on Jesus fully, and as he reveals things, even if it's through teaching like this, that's how he'll do it a lot of times. You're reading of the word, a book, you read it, but as he reveals it, ooh, you're not seeking it just to bring that sin to the surface so Satan can torment you with it. You seek after God, and then when the Spirit brings it to the surface, he will give you authority, revelation, strength, and the anointing and the truth to set you free. So don't think, oh, I've got to get my kid through this checklist so he'll be okay. Just get the idea, Lord, you know, begin to pray, Lord, give them a desire and a hunger to have a full revelation of you. Give them a desire for full knowledge of you, Lord. God, just, I just pray that their eyes will be enlightened to who you are. Pray the Ephesian prayer or the Colossians prayer. Is this helping? This is really helping. You know what? I think we don't realize how much of the preaching and the teaching and the ministry and the evangelism is done somewhat in the arena of guilt. Guilt's a big thing. I'm seeing this. Guilt is a really big thing. Guilt is one of the culprits that's keeping people in bondage and not wanting and feeling like being a Christian is too difficult. I just really do believe that God is changing something in the atmosphere for this ministry, and at least for me, for preaching and teaching. I'm not saying we haven't done that somewhat, because it's been step by step, and it wasn't sin before because we didn't know it. Yay, thank you, God. And we were in his will right where he wants you. But the key is as he begins to reveal things, okay? So keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and he'll take care of everything else. And when you pray for people, when you minister to your children, when you minister to your loved ones, when you evangelize, always make it about Jesus and the eyes on Jesus and let him take care of the rest. I'm not talking about some fake kind of everything's great, you know, fakey thing. I'm talking about truly sharing. The Bible says you overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb, explaining who Jesus is, how powerful this is, how wonderful he is. But don't mix guilt in there. Don't mix condemnation in there. I do believe that's why people are against the church, one of the main reasons, especially in a Christian nation. So God wants to set us free in this so people will just see Jesus and be hungry. Now, there's a time to preach convicting messages, and an anointing of God is going to be on that to bring people to repentance. But for the most part, we need to just reveal Christ. We just need to reveal Christ, keep the eyes on Christ. Okay, listen to this one. This is really powerful. Remember how people say, well, you'll have people say, well, how can it be fair that people go to hell in another nation when they've never heard of Christ? And that's always baffled Christians, and they didn't know how to answer that and make God sound fair. Listen to this. Verse 16, let's start first. This is awesome. John 15, I'm going to preach this whole thing one day here soon. Oh, John 15, I probably have. John 15, 16. You have not chosen me, this is Jesus, but I chose you out and planted you, that you should go and you should bear fruit, and your fruit remain. And whatever you should ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Wow.
Oh, I could preach a whole thing on that, but you'll have to come on a Sunday morning for those. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it has hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word which I said to you, a slave is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my words, they will keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and had not spoken to them, then they had no sin. But now they do not have an excuse as to their sin. The one hating me also hates my Father. If I did not do the works among them which no other did, then they would have no sin. But now they both have seen and have hated me and my Father. But that may be fulfilled the word that has been written in their law. They hated me undeservingly. And when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, that one will witness concerning me. Who does the Holy Spirit witness about? Jesus. This is so powerful. If someone's talking about the Holy Spirit and they're not seeing Jesus lifted up, they're getting off track in their revelation. The Holy Spirit just absolutely wants you to see Jesus. He is the Godhead in bodily form who you're going to marry, who's everything. Everything's for him, through him, by him. It's all about Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's whole thing. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, that one will witness concerning me. And you will also witness, because from the beginning you were with me. Gosh, you could just go on and on. Yeah. Did you just see where he said, if you really don't know, is not hell to you a sin? What a righteous God. But there are things you can read in the teaching on the reprobate, that there's things that just is put in every human being to know what is right and wrong. That there are things that even nature declares about God. And so to whatever revelation that God has placed in your path, whether it's just seeing the sunset and the sun go down, You are required to recognize and glorify God in it. And when people don't do that, they will be judged according to that. I don't know how he does it, but he is completely just. And I believe anyone who wants to know the true God will find the true God. And I believe when people are content with their mess and content in the lies, they will stay in the lies and they will be judged according to a heart that didn't seek truth. And I believe if someone's seeking truth, God will do whatever, including letting wars happen, so that the truth can get to the people who are seeking it. Do you kind of understand? Only those who truly want God are going to be in heaven. Only those who truly, with all their heart, wants God and recognizes that they're wicked are going to find Jesus Christ. So if an entire nation has to go through all kinds of mess for a small remnant to find Christ and get the freedom to find truth, then God's going to do that. Why not? They're all going to go to hell anyway. I mean, I don't want to be hateful. They're all going to hell anyway. God's going to do whatever he can. He will comb the earth. He will organize kings and princes and armies, and he'll spend billions of dollars of anybody's money he wants because it's all his anyway. So one person in one village could find Christ if they're asking. That's the kind of God we serve. And everybody else is going to hell anyway. I don't mean to say that rude or mean. They're not seeking God. They're not looking for God. Even in the witness in nature, they're not recognizing who he is and recognizing their lacking of knowing him. And so a whole nation could stay under bondage when a whole nation isn't seeking him. But if one seeks him, God will do whatever it takes to get to the one. And there are scriptures where he sent angels. There's testimony. God is faithful even when we're not. And we need to be able to stand up and answer these questions with the truth and the love of God and realize there's not one single person in hell who didn't choose to not want Jesus Christ. Not one. Not one person in hell who didn't choose not to truly want to know the living God. Because all it takes from God is just a look. And he'll move entire nations to get to you. People say, I don't know if we should be in the war. I don't know if we should. You know what? It doesn't matter. If there's one person who needed the gospel there, then God got the gospel there. My brain can't figure out what we're supposed to do and not supposed to do. All I know is this. All things work together for good to those who love God and called according to his purpose. And God will even use everything in a nasty person's heart to bring about good for someone who's seeking God. It's all way beyond our thinking. We all think we know everything. We don't know anything. But we don't have to know anything but Christ Jesus and him crucified. Thank you, Lord.